beginning with verse 25. Hear now these words. Now after Peter and John had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, proclaiming the good news to many villages of the Samaritans. Then the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south of the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning home, sitting in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before his shearer, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask, did the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Then Philip began to speak. Starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What does it prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And so the past few weeks, you know, we've been watching the spread of the gospel. And today we want to see how this gospel spreads to the uttermost parts of the world at that time. You know, I mentioned several times about when I read this, I think about that opening scene, the old TV show Bonanza. You got the map, the Ponderosa Ranch, and the middle is the fire, the flame that spreads out across that map. And Jesus had told his disciples, "Stay here in Jerusalem till you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And you will proclaim the good news beginning in Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria, and then to the farther ends of the earth." Like a flame that spreads out with Jerusalem in the center. Well, last Sunday we saw how, because of persecution, the main believers left Jerusalem, got out of there, and Philip went down to Samaria and led a great revival. And Peter and John came and laid hands on the Samaritans and prayed for them, and the Samaritans received the Holy Spirit. And so our story begins where Peter and John, they leave, and you would think Philip will still spend time in Samaria. But instead, he gets some new orders. Now, Miss Maggie, you used to be in the military. You know how it is. You're at one base, and then you get some orders, same time go to another base, right, to a new post. Well, that's how it was with Philip. The Lord said, "You've been down at Fort Samaria long enough. It's time to put you somewhere else." And he says, "Get up and go towards the south, the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And that's all he says. That'd be like in our culture, the Lord said, "I want you to go out to Make a Pike or 411 or Chiricahua Skyway. That's all you got to work on. Just go to this road." And so there's Philip, and he gets up and leaves. Well, meanwhile, down this road comes an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, Ethiopia is located in the south of Israel and such. It's in Africa, and it's in northern Africa, really, but for the Roman Empire, they consider that the big, about far south you can get. Now, this is on the edge of the empire, the furthermost parts of that Roman civilization. And this guy got some ranking here. Okay. He's a eunuch. The reason he's a eunuch is he works for the queen. And he says he's a court official of Candace, Queen of Ethiopians. And you may know when I was reading the scripture, I had to pause there because I almost said, instead of saying Candace, I almost said Cadence, okay? About tripped me up there. So that's why I paused and look at it again, you know. About got me in trouble. Now, works for the queen. He was the secretary of the treasurer. In other words, he held a checkbook for the whole nation. This is a very high-ranking official. And he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So here is a guy, Ethiopian. He believes in the one true God. And he goes up to Jerusalem to worship. Now the problem is, though, as a eunuch, he cannot enter into worship into the temple as far as he could have. Being a eunuch, he would be considered unclean. And so he's been up in Jerusalem worshiping, and he's coming back down in his chariot. And so that'd be like in our culture. Here comes the treasurer of an African nation down Mecca Pike, and he's in the back of his limousine, right? And got the chauffeur driving. And he's in the back of the limousine reading some scriptures he picked up. And so Philip just runs up next to this chariot. So it'd be kind of like you just run up to the limousine there and say, "Hey, man, do you understand what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian says, "Well, how am I supposed to understand this unless someone explains it to me?" You know? And then he invites Philip to jump in with them. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. If you were driving down Mecca Pike and you're going a little slow there and enjoying the scenery and such, and some guy just walked up to your vehicle and said, "Do you understand that Bible you're reading?" And you say, "No, come here and join me." How many of you do that? How many of you pick up hitchhikers? Now, I've done that a time or two, but not very often, right? Because most of them look a little too sketchy for me. But this Ethiopian, he just tells Philip, "Come inside, you know, jump in my chariot." Okay? So here we got this Ethiopian, this black guy, talking to this Jewish guy he's never met before. And he says, "I'm reading his passage here, and I don't understand what, who's he talking about?" Now, that passage comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Okay? And what I found interesting about this passage is I was watching a program one time, and there was this professor, and he talked about how he had a friend who printed off this scripture, but he took away all the Isaiah part and the numbers, and he went around to his co-workers. "I'm going to read this to you. Tell me who this is." Okay? Now, I'm going to read Isaiah 53 in more detail what this has, but this is what the Ethiopian was reading. "For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with his infirmity, and as one from whom others hid their faces. He was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned from our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that is before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could imagine his future? For he was cut down from the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. They made his grave for the wicked, and his tomb for the rich. Although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. And so this gentleman went around and read this scripture. He said, who are they talking about? And everyone he talked to, whether they were Gentile or Jewish, they said, oh, that's talking about Jesus. That must be coming out of the New Testament. And he'd say, well, he's talking about Jesus, but it didn't come out of the New Testament. It came out of Isaiah. When you read that, and a lot of Jesus' crucifixion, you realize this is talking about Jesus, God's servant who was rejected by the people and was punished, not for what he did, but what we had done, our sins and transgressions. And so the unit asked Philip, Philip, who is this about? Is he talking about himself or someone else? Well, that's all Philip needed. And Philip began to speak, and starting with the scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. In other words, Philip said, here's my opening. I'm going to tell this Ethiopian guy about Jesus. Now, think about this. Here's this high-up Ethiopian, secretary of the treasury of Ethiopia, works for the queen. But even all that, he still needed to hear about Jesus. I remember one time listening to a Billy Graham crusade, and or rather reading his book, and actually both. He mentioned in his book and on TV. But he was talking about how, getting ready for one of his crusades, a Catholic bishop came to him and thanked him for a crusade he'd done many years earlier, and I think it was in Chicago. And Billy Graham said, well, what do you mean? He said, I was on the subway, I think it was, and this lady tapped me. It was this black lady. And she says, sir, have you been born again? And he said, I got a little fan by and said, well, I'm a Catholic priest, you know. And she said, I didn't ask you that. I asked you, have you been born again? And he said, that really bothered me. And said, and that night, I pulled out my Bible and read that scripture that I read so many times, and I prayed. He said, I don't know if I got born again or rededicated or what, but all I knew was, when I got up, I was a different person. We forget sometimes, no matter how high someone is, or whether they're clergy, laity, elected official, somebody needs to tell them about Jesus. And Philip did not miss this opportunity to tell this eunuch about Jesus. And then it says, as they were going along, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. What does it prevent me from being baptized? Now remember, they're out in the Middle East here in the desert. And just lo and behold, here's some water out in the desert. Now, was that just a coincidence that this eunuch is reading a scripture about Jesus? Philip shows up, and a little while later, there's a pool of water. No, it wasn't. It was a divine appointment. And so what does he do? He tells the chauffeur to pull over, and he and Philip go in the water, and Philip baptizes him. And so as they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. You may recall in Luke's Gospel, you have a similar scene to where you had a guy named Cleopas and his wife, you think, and they were going down the road, and they pick up a hitchhiker. The hitchhiker says, you guys look sad. What's the matter with you? And they look at him and say, have you not heard what's been going on? Tell me about it. Well, there's this man named Jesus and the Nazarene, and we thought he'd be the one who redeemed Israel. But then the high priest had him arrested and hand him over to the Romans, and they crucified him. And that happened 3 days ago. And then this morning, the women came and telling these crazy tales about the tomb being empty and angels. And the stranger said, oh, you fools, slow of heart to understand. Did you not know the Messiah must suffer before entering his glory? And as they're walking along that road to Emmaus, the stranger starts with Moses. No, go down, Moses. And then the Psalms. That's what we did a little while ago, Herbert and I, Psalms 22. And the prophets. You know, the scripture I read from Isaiah. Explaining how all throughout the Old Testament, it was being foretold that the Messiah would suffer. And when they got to where they were going to be at, it looked like the stranger was going to keep on walking. And they said, no, abide with us. No, for night is falling. And they sit down at the table. And the stranger took the bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them. Who does that sound like? And when they took it, their eyes were opened. And they realized it was Jesus. And he disappeared. And that's how it was with old Philip. As soon as he baptized this eunuch, the Holy Spirit just took him, reassigned him. And it says the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. He was rejoicing because now he understood that Jesus the Messiah had died for him. And what's interesting is in Isaiah, when you get to Isaiah 56, a few chapters later, the Ethiopian would read this scripture, verse 3. Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord, say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And do not let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me, and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. You see, that eunuch, he was reading Isaiah 53, didn't understand it. Philip came along explaining it to him. He got saved and got baptized. And then as he went further down the road and kept reading, he came across Isaiah 56 and talking about how God makes a promise that one day they will come with eunuchs, that they will have something better than sons or daughters. They will have an everlasting name. In other words, you can't have sons and daughters, but now you're a child of God, a son of God. You've been forgiven, part of his family. And so he went on his way rejoicing. And according to early church tradition, he becomes the first bishop in Ethiopia. He established the churches in Ethiopia. In verse 4 he said, but Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. And what's interesting about that is Philip will go to Caesarea, and then a couple years later, a guy named Paul and his friend Luke will come to Caesarea. And so I think that Luke and Philip met each other, and that's how Luke knew about Philip's adventures. When Philip said, Luke, let me tell you what the Lord did to me one time. I just got done preaching this revival in Samaria, and he told me to go down this highway. And I was on this highway, and here comes this fancy chariot. And I run alongside it, and I hear the guy reading from Isaiah. And I said, do you understand this? He said, no. He invited me to jump in with him. And along that trip, I explained him about Jesus. He believed. And then we came across some water, and we pulled over, and I baptized him. And then as soon as I baptized him, the Holy Spirit switched me away. You know? I mean, we didn't want to be present when Philip was telling that story. So what about us? Are we like Philip? When the Lord tells us to go somewhere, we do it? Or do we argue about it? And when we have an opportunity, do we take advantage of it? Philip could have said, well, you know, it's not really my business what he's reading. And I mean, I'm sure he'll figure it out. And you know, when he gets back to Ethiopia, he can get on Google and look it up. No, he didn't do that. Philip said, this man has a hunger for God. He's got questions. I need to give him some answers. Okay? And you will have opportunities, folks, when folks are going to ask you, have questions about God, and you need to be ready to speak up and say something. And isn't it strange how we'll talk about the weather and sports and politics, but then folks face hard times and got God questions, we get real quiet. We need to reverse that. When folks are going through hard times, we need to speak up. And like old Philip, we need to open our Bibles and share some scripture and talk to them and tell them we love them and pray for them. And I'm not saying every time you do this, somebody's going to get saved and get baptized at the same time. But it's an opportunity. Don't miss that opportunity. Philip's opportunity literally was driving by. And he had a choice. He could have stood there and let the guy go by. Or instead, he can run up to him, have a conversation. And then the Ethiopian opened the door and said, jump inside. And maybe you can speak to someone. And they'll say, jump inside and tell me more about this. I'm curious. Okay. See, it's not your responsibility what happens to them. That's for them, the Lord. Your responsibility is just to be faithful. And when that opportunity comes, you take advantage of it. When God opens that door, you walk through it. Thanks be to God. Amen.